It's a bit like my beard. It's not 100% good. That's the problem. That's what's going on. Never mind. You're here. I'm here. It's 8 o'clock. Lose the British accent. I am Ross. I am all on me onesies. But despite the fact that that actually makes it 25% more expensive in the United States, I am attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. We're giving it a whirl. I did send the invite out. Ian's at work, so he's not available tonight, but I did send the invite out to see if anyone else was available, and most are not. Dave's not available. Ananda said he might be around. James is in Toronto, and Keir says he's not drinking, so I don't really know what to do with that. So instead, the funny thing there is that I got ready to have guests. So it's going to be me. It's going to be a guest lineup of beers and just me. But hey, that's definitely how we roll around here. First, first up is a hazy IPA. And I didn't realize this, but I was just kind of looking through. What have I got? What's available? And I tried to get things that were available at the LC. So these are all three available on the LC right now. Is these hazy / New England IPAs. Nipahs and hazes. Hazapanipa. I am talking in absolute tongues. But the first is... on the lowest percentage alcohol is 5.0 for a hazy IPA, which... feels a little low for an IPA, but maybe I'm crazy because, there's a side note. I put my black IPA that I got from a kit for Christmas. It went into bottles, so it's ready to drink in one more week's time, which is the worst timing possible. But it factored out, I mathed that one out on the third try, at 5%. So there you go. Maybe there's nothing wrong with the 5% IPA. So there's the Dishoom. From North Brewing is a hazy IPA at 5.0%. Says on the side of the can, punchy, tropical, and juicy. But on the website, it says, Dishoom was envisioned as a tropical, juicy IPA. From Rosina, Dishoom is like the pow sound when people fight in Bollywood movies. It's basically like the punchy Batman-Robin fighting scenes with their sound effects. Perfect for a flavorful IPA. We used a mixture of pale malt, wheat and oats, and hopped it with a combo of Citra and Simcoe hops with the addition of a yet-to-be-named hop that is part of a U.S. experimental hop breeding program, so for now it just has the eloquent placeholder name of HBC-1019. Oh, good! I chose tonight to accidentally spotlight a beer with imported experimental United States hops. I got this cheap, because this should have cost another... let's see, 24, it's 25% of $5. $1. $1, like $1.20, $1.25. So this should have cost about like $6.50 for this little Minneapolis St. Paul. I have no idea what I'm saying. Not to get too crazy political, but here's a fact. The 25% tariffs that have been threatened for the last little while went into effect two nights ago at midnight. So that's a thing, and it's going on. Hello, you smell. I mean, you don't actually smell quite as tropical, and I mean, it smells pretty tropical and juicy, but it's not like overwhelmingly tropical and juicy. Still saying you're doesn't necessarily say no. This one does not say it's a New England IPA. It just says it is a hazy IPA. So that just means that, you know, we're gonna get some cooler, some viscosity. No, that doesn't seem worth. Ian and I argue about these words all of the time. However, I'm digging it. For the first time, my mug finding adventures. Here is my new North Brewing glass, and it comes in this cool dimpled mug with the handle. Quoi? Qu'est-ce qui passe? It's David saying that he's not feeling well. That's cool. But I already had a mug, or sorry, not a mug. I had a glass from North Brewing. I had a small little tulip shaped one at about, I think it's probably about a 16 ouncer. So we'll see how much this delightful mug will hold. And yes, it is hazy, even though I've only got half of the can, a little more than half the can in there already. Dishoom. that's a long word. That's two syllables for pow. Pow, whack, suck. Most of the punching sounds are usually one syllable. So choosing a two syllable, dishoom. Maybe there's a bit of a drawback. You get the dish. So there's kind of a, because kerblam is more of an explosion. So maybe it's more of a kerblam kind of sound effect for punching, where you get like the full on. And I don't know a thing about Bollywood or seen many Bollywood movies, but I feel like the theme is the stereotype is certainly to be over the top in action. So perhaps on every punch it's like an explosion. So with an explosive punch, you probably need two syllables more than Juan. We shan't get into someone named Juan as being the star of a Bollywood movie, but this is what happens when it's just me and we just get me talking off the cuff constantly. Speaking of talking off the cuff constantly, I had a meeting today. I mentioned that I am employed on the wine bus that travels around, and basically I just talk to tourists about the local area. I love it. I enjoy it. But some of the other guides really enjoy a script, whereas I like to be very off the cuff and just whatever's coming to my head at the time. And I was explaining this because the meeting today was with the owner-operator of the wine bus, and he was saying to me, yes, you know, I'll put out the schedule and what you'd like to, you know, we'd like you to be part of our season. Once again, my 10th, 11th, I gotta look at the year, how many years I've been doing that season. And I started mentioning that Some of the other guys, they like to have a script, and I improvise, and I'm actually involved in a few improvisational things. This technically is one of them. I mean, it's supposed to be a conversation, an improvised, non-scripted conversation. Actually, this whole thing is scripted. This is me just reading everything straight off the screen right there. I even had this little section specifically in there. This fits the whole can with room to spare, so I love this new mug. The other one was too small. I was explaining that I prefer not having a script. I prefer just running off. And in fact, I babble when I'm nervous, but it also relaxes me. I like doing this a lot. I like just starting and never know where I'm stopping, never know what's going to happen next. Luckily, unlike some other venues where I just get to kind of prattle off and talk, this gives me something to talk about, because we get to talk about beer. The head on this is, it's an interesting foam. It's actually coming out very frothy, extra bubbly. Not quite sure how to put it, but it's still very, very hazy. I feel like weeks past, I haven't really had many things to kind of compare with each other. They weren't comparative flavors and styles. I feel like each of these, we get a couple of hazies, and a couple of them sort of say they're New England IPAs. One's even a New England hazy IPA. So I feel like they're going to be a little bit easier to compare with each other, which is good, because we haven't done that in such a long time. And judging them individually based on what's written on the can or what's written on the website has been its own delightful experience. Also, my mustache and all of my facial hair is getting way too long. It is getting a little bit definitely out of hand, however, and it's also going to dip into the beer. So we're gonna have the frothy mustachio coming up. Anyway, Dishoom hazy IPA from North. Let's go. Very smooth. Oh, very nice. Oh, my goodness. Just when I was expecting a tiny little bitter down the back end. Oh, that's very, very easy to drink. It's not as tropical as I thought it was going to be. For saying that you're a tropical juicy IPA, it's kind of, I don't want to say muted. I can't think of another word other than muted, though. It's just a little soft. Soft and muted, like, oh, only percent, a tiny, tiny bit would I say it is. It's just not bursting with flavor, which is what I was sort of expecting, and I often do. So it's just a very smooth, easy, sessionable, dare I say, hazy IPA. Certainly easily drinkable. One of the ones, my go-to at a lot of the pubs, because most of the pubs don't have anything other than Propeller, and here in the valley locally, we've got probably, well, the places that I frequent do seem to have a decent amount of Schoolhouse on tap, or, well, decent amount, one or two, and it's often the vice principal pale ale, IPA, PA, whichever one the vice principal is. The vice principal is almost always on. And Propeller Galaxy. So I usually go back to the Propeller Galaxy, just, you know, it's because it's a nice, strong double IPA, and it's delicious, but it's got that little bit of a burn at the back, the IPA stink, which I think is usually the best way that I put it. This has none of that. This is just delightful. It's a nice little, just juicy, easy going. It does not taste like a 5-point, you know, if this was saying that it was a session IPA, this tastes like a session IPA, so this is definitely a danger juice type situation where you say, ooh, that's really easy to drink. That must be lower in alcohol percentage. And then you have 3. And then by the time you've had 8, you, oh no, wait, hang on. Not 8, 6? Ooh, let's do the math. I'm trying to do the math on the Century Club, and let's get out the calculatrice. There it is down there in the bottom corner. So, 355 times 8 was 2,840. That's how many milliliters seemed to be in the Century Club was our guesstimation. So if I divide 2,840 by 473, 6. So you need to drink, so for Century Club, you need to drink 6 of the, we had 6 of those. Man, I'm feeling pretty good after like 2. I'm feeling really good after 3. So, man, what was, anywho, yeah, I had 8 empty, empty 355 milliliter cans. I drank the rest, I think. Yeah, I did. But math-wise, it works out to only 6 of the tall boys. So if you were to get tall, and honestly, it's a 5.0, so it works it for the century, the centurion. I would probably drink this. It'd be a little bit interesting. I was tempted to do the Dirty Blonde last time, so maybe that's going to be the evolution of that. You know, because estimating that I'm still going to be doing this for another 100 episodes, which is what, a year and a month? No, 2 years. It's every 2 years. How many years are we going to do this? Oh man, I'm going to be sitting here and I'm 70. 70 years old, sitting back saying, "Well, I were a lad, there were bears in my younger years, you know, back when I was 46. How old am I?" It's getting really confusing to remember how old I am, because I can't even remember how old my daughter is, and that was always my benchmark. So if my son is 2, and I'm 46, no, he's 2 and I'm turning 47 this year, so it's the turn year. How does that work for everybody? Think about it later. I like this a lot. As a hazy IPA, I could have used a little more flavor. Really easy down the back end. You're getting the juiciness, the flavors. Am I getting what was on the can? It just says tropical. It just says tropical. It doesn't. Pale malt, wheat, oats, added with the thing, blah, 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 Citra and Simcoe hops. Doesn't actually say anything about fruit. So is it just the Citra and the Simcoe and the HBC, the Hudson Bay Company 1019? You know, the year that the Hudson Bay Company was started, back in the year of, it was King Arthur, actually. King Arthur was the one who started the Hudson Bay Company. It's before he founded Hudson Bay, after naming it after the Hudson River in New York. He's quite the time traveler, King Arthur. That's why there's so many movies called A Knight in King Arthur's Court. Womp womp. I don't know why I thought that would be a good reference. Never link those two together, ever. I don't want to give that just the standard 8.5. Honestly, I usually keep going up until I don't feel comfortable with what I'm... And 9.1? Is that a 9 out of 10? Hazy IP? It is to me, at least. For what it's saying it's going to be, like a punchy, like, you've named this after getting punched by Batman. Perfect for a flavorful IPA. I mean, it's not the most obvious flavor, and that's why a 9.1. It could have even been like a 9.6, 9.7, but it needs Needs a bit more. It needs just a bit more of a flavor, of a profile. Just a little, but still, very, very good. And definitely keep it a sip at the bottom. I almost cracked this before I did anything about it. The foolishly. So second up. From Roofhound Brewing Company out of... Oh, I'm totally invisible. From Roofhound Brewing Company out of Kingston, Nova Scotia. This is the Foolishly Hoptimistic IPA, coming in at 6%. Now, we have had this one before, but we had it in the tiny little taster rack, the flight, when we were actually in person there, and that was probably 3 or 4 years ago we did that. So it's been a while. I went in again because I love to go in and buy the case, because no matter what beer you buy, they sell it to you for $60 for the full case. That's $5 a bottle. And these, instead of 473s, these are 500s. So how many of these do you need to drink for the Century Club? Probably 5.5. I'm just doing basic math on that because I can't be bothered bringing up the calculator app again. What gets me about this one is, well, there's nothing on the description other than 6% and IPA. Gives the mailing address for Roofhound. Oh no, it doesn't have the postal code. I was gonna say, so you can write in. I didn't like this one very much, and I need to tell you exactly how I feel, and you'll get this in 6 to 10 business days. But what I did find was, well, there was nothing on the NSLC page. Even there's nothing on the Roofhound website. The Untappd description puts it in as a New England / hazy. And I think, interesting, because it is not hazy at all in the bottle. So does that mean that it gets hazy once it's out of the bottle? Or does that mean that that is maybe an outdated? Now, I think the only thing that they did was they updated the artwork, or the label on it. Yeah, Foolishly Hoptimistic IPA is back with a new look. That was several years ago. So it may be the Untappd is just, it's just been there for a while, because there's like 488 ratings. There's been a bunch of ratings on Untappd of this one, so I'm not giving it too hard of a time just yet. But I did buy some extras of these, and I did enjoy them recently. This has a bit more of the that dank stink factor that a lot of IPAs do have. Did I put this in the right glass? Yep, we're putting the Roofhound in the Roofhound glass. Here we go. You know what? It is pouring. Oh, no, there it is. It's pretty clear at the bottom. So I'm not sure that this can be considered a hazy IPA, because I can zord on the heck out of that. Look at my face. My face is amazing. Give it a lick. It tastes just like raisins. But it definitely is not going to fit in my tiny, tiny little glass here, which is good. This happened to me. No, not to me, but this happened the other night, where my wife opened up a sour that she'd had in the beer cabinet for a while, and she said, "Oh, taste that. It really grows on top." And I said, "Pour the whole thing into a glass, because then that it's like stirring it up. You know, it's what you need to do. And you can't just shake up a can or a bottle of beer, because everything will go really terrible. You gotta pour it in a container." Oh, it's a little bit more. Okay, so the haze is kind of at the tail end of the bottle there. So I'd like to get that into the glass, but it doesn't currently fit. Smell? Yeah, still on there, with kind of just the hazy-ish. With no description whatsoever, all I've got is just the label that says IPA and 6%. So honestly, I would be expecting... Now, they do have the Big Stink IPA, which is hugely flavorful. So this is a bit more of a palatable, approachable IPA. Let's give it a roll. Cheers. Again, slightly muted. Just... Is there something going on with my taste buds where I just feel like everything is a little, there we go. We got a little bit more haze to it once we got everything from the bottle into the glass. Are my taste buds just running out of flavor? Like this, it should it be socking my face off? Maybe, maybe not. But it's just, this is a really easy to drink, delicious IPA tasting beer. Is it an IPA? You have to assume yes. It honestly, these both would. If someone had introduced these to me as IPAs when I first started drinking IPAs or drinking craft beer, I would have said, oh man, IPAs are my absolute favorite. But I kept drinking the ones that were just stank, nasty flavored. I don't know what it is. So if we go all the way back, and I believe we've had this conversation with Steve Crane, where the early days of craft brewing in Nova Scotia were about obviousness or craziness, and it was all very, you have to make it the most sour tasting IPA, the dankest flavor possible, and that way everyone knows that you're drinking an IPA and you're not just drinking an Olin's lager. And you think, okay. And that's how they all were flavored. And then you had people who said, oh no, I prefer craft beer. And as soon as you said the word craft beer, you knew kind of what was happening. It was going to be one of those, oh, mouth puckering. Oh my God, I got to pick the hops out of my teeth in just a minute. Maybe not in that voice, but probably something like that. I hope that it's not just my taste buds. There have been a couple of colds and whatnot. I've sneezed a couple times. I don't think I'm sick. I don't feel sick. I feel tired. That's not the same, right? Doesn't everyone just feel freaking tired? I am sick and tired of being told that ordinary decent people are fed up in this country with being sick and tired. One of my favorite, no wait, I think that's the full quote, the Monty Python quote. It's a Michael Palin line right at the beginning of another audio sketch. It was just like, it happened to be the tail end of a radio program before the actual sketch began. Like, it was just an establishing, they are listening to the radio right now bit. And it was just Michael Palin saying, that was the second one. I am sick and tired. No, wait. No, I can't remember the whole thing, but it was, I'm sick and tired of being told that ordinary decent people are fed up in this country with being sick and tired. I'm certainly not. And I'm sick and tired of being told that I am. Is there a bit more flavor now that I've got the whole thing in there? Yes. Still that juiciness, but I don't think it's from, like, fruit. Citrus fruit. I think it's from the hop profile. I'm really looking forward, not to call anybody out, I would really like to take, I think I've mentioned this before, a Prudhomme or Cicerone course, and I believe there's one coming up. I need to check around and see what's going on, but there's one hopefully coming up soon. I'm keeping some tabs on that, finger on the pulse, et cetera, but hopefully, and I don't know anything about a Prudhomme course or what they teach you to do. But will it teach me that I drink that and I think, Simcoe hops. Yes. Ooh, and a tad of mosaic is in there. Ooh, that is definitely a floor-hopped. Floor-malted. Yes, definitely. Hopefully, I can then practice my very, what I call my foppish British accent for that one. Just the, I've needed, again, likening back to Monty Python, where I learned everything, apparently, with that accent from the Upper Class Twit of the Year award. I mean, obviously everyone is very familiar with Monty Python's Flying Circus, the 1960s sketch comedy show. So you know the sketch, the Upper Class Twit of the Year, and how they all talk, and they all talk with their teeth, they all stick out at the front like that, and that's just where you sort of act like you're a mouse eating a piece of cheese. And for some reason, you have to be very nasally. What an interesting segue into another conversation I was having with my wife, where we were listening to someone play music, and they were playing a song, but they were using and I don't want to say the wrong voice, but not the authentic singing voice with which you would add to that song. Like, and then luckily, I definitely married her because she makes me feel sane most of the time, because everyone else makes me feel insane. But when you listen to other people sing, they have one voice. They have one singing voice. They sing everything the exact same way. Whereas I'm, you know, if I'm singing, you can get like a little, a pinchy kind of nasally, yeah, sing the Bob Dylan song, here we go, yeah. I don't think there was ever an ooh yeah Bob Dylan. But then on the other hand, where you've got a you know, obviously, at the opposite end of the spectrum of Bob Dylan is the Crash Test Dummies. And once there was this kid who got into an accident and couldn't come to school, but... And so you're like opening, you're opening your throat, you're opening your mouth and making very sonorous sounding. But what we were listening to was someone was singing, so I'm like, I know exactly who that is who's singing. It's not like a famous person. Someone local posted a video of them singing a song. But I know who that is because they always sing in the exact same voice. And I think, I don't do that. Sometimes there's some great songs you got to really rasp it up. And some kind of Aerosmith-y. I mean, you couldn't sing Aerosmith like a Cher song. How would that go? What a terrible example, but now I'm going to have to kind of come up with some kind of, and what's the other one? I've been crying since I left you, now I'm dying to forget you. There we go. Cher sings Aerosmith. That's going to be a hot pick coming up next week on KMFDR. Is that a radio station, KMFDR? I got to look that up now. Share so many things to look up. KMFD. I just love, because Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Yeah, KMFDM is a multinational industrial rock band from Hamburg. Okay. I just randomly selected a randomized set of letters pretending to be a radio station, and it happens to be a famous industrial rock band from Germany. Originally, Keine Mehrheit für die Mitglied, loosely translated as No Pity for the Majority. Well, oh my, if we weren't political before, we're getting damn political now. Kill, the initialism has jokingly been said to stand for Kill MFing Depeche Mode, coined by the band on their first U.S. trip. Do they not like Depeche Mode? I like Depeche Mode as a sweet band. Success in the United States. Help. Well, there's the album. And they followed a year later. My Life with a Thrill Kill Cult. I know that band. The band's next club hit. Wait. What was their first club hit? It says their second club hit, but Strum left three songs, Pig, What Do You Know, Deutschland, the band was Opium. Are they going to tell me what their hits were? More and Faster, a song called KMFDM's first classic, early glimpses of the band's sense of humor. Split, Vogue, probably not that Vogue. We're going way down the rabbit hole of KMFDM here. And luckily, I've been drinking beer, so I am getting a nice runny nose, which is fantastic. You can hear me snurf right into the microphone. Discography. Famous. What were their hits? Tell me what their hits were. List of tours. Touring and fan-based. They've been touring for like 100 years, since the 1989, opening for Who, What Do You Know, from the band's Scathing Political Commentary. I don't think I know a single KMFDM song. It just popped into my head because I was trying to think of what you would say on the radio. What indeed is the frequency, Kenneth? I think I only speak in run-on sentences. Punctuation is not invited. I like this just as much as the other one. Do I like it more? A little. Honestly, 9-3. 9-3, boys. We got a 9-1 and a 9-3. And I remember really liking the What Incarnation. So, no one can make it tonight, but I'm having a good time, and I am probably going to surprise my wife slightly. She kind of expects me to come up after this show. Wow. Oh, they're fizzy. In a good mood. Tonight will be no exception. Sometimes I'm not in a good mood. Sometimes I'm like, that was bad. And honestly, it's usually I'm looking in that closet and I'm looking through and I'm like, one of these nights we gotta do the Pilsners. We gotta have a Pilsner night. And I was gonna do that tonight just to get rid of them. Just to get through them, but then there was the possibility of having guests, and I'm like, oh, I can't do business with guests. I gotta do something different. So let's have some purchasable IPAs. I dig these. These are really good. Finger of beer left at the bottom of the glass for comparative reasons. Especially if not if only. I like this Two Crows glass. So that is coming up next. So the foolishly optimistic, we got through that one, but deterred in our little walk through here is the What Incarnation New England IPA. I am cheating because I think I had this before on a night that Ian wasn't here, and I liked it so much. I told him that he needs to have it. I said, you gotta try this. You have to drink this. I really liked it. And he said, nah. He said, I'll deliver it back to you next time I see you. So this is the one that I had saved for him. So I'm gonna have it twice. I was gonna have this myself, just kind of in and of myself on a delightful evening. But then I thought, since this one is still in the LC, might as well offer it up to my guests, who are nowhere to be found. Did I mention why Kier wasn't here? I don't want to throw him under the bus or anything like that, but he mentioned that he was trying to back, or not back down, back away, slow down from avoid, I don't know, not drink as much is what he said. And okay. And this is why you need a beer closet, because that way on the day that you say, you know what, I shouldn't drink so much. And then you go into the closet and you say, yes, I should stop drinking right after I get rid of all of these. And it's really easy because then you try to get through it and you drink five and you think, I'm going to die. And you don't get through it and you still have them all in your cupboard. And so you have to keep drinking. You can never quit. You can check out anytime you like, but you can't never leave. Two Crows, What Incarnation says New England IPA is a 6.1%, says strong beer. Also says on the can, velvety, lush, and juicy. It's spelled correctly on the can. But on the site on twocrowsbrewing.com, it does say the latest in a rotating hop IPA series. This version is loaded with Galaxy, Citra, HBC 119, Eclipse, and Mosaic. Juicy, lush, tropical, smooth, with notes of passion fruit, mango, and papaya. Tells me the notes. HBC 1019. We have a 2319. We've got an HBC 1019. They're both using the same experimental American hop. I chose the wrong freaking beers. These aren't going to be available, or they're going to be 25% more in the LC as of probably this morning. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why David and Ananda couldn't be here, because they went in and they checked it. And it had this big no, this includes American hops in it. Ah, boo. Boo this beer. Boo this experimental hop from the United States of Africa. That's gonna be the next country. Just call it that. Just call it a day. But I did, yeah. So the short answer is the short story. I have had this before. Ooh, tangy. Zip. Woo, zip, zop, zoop. Zip, zip, zop. Zip, zop, zap? Zip, zop, zap. What's that game called? I think it's called Zip, Zop, Zap. I think you stole that guy's wallet. No, oh, man! I dribbled it a little bit down the thing because it came over the edge of the can because it was full wicked to the brim. And if I could ever get in contact with any of these Halifax brewers, I could ask them questions about stuff like that. I could ask the Two Crows guys about some of these interesting beers. But lot of the Halifax one. I did have a nice conversation with Brightwood when I went in there, but I don't think I was talking to the brewer. I think I was just talking to one of the bartenders, and that's usually what happens. I know that Ian Smith of Tapestry Beer Bar, a 3-3 Sackville Drive, does have a pretty good relationship with a lot of them, especially the brewer of Unfiltered. I want to get in there myself and find out what in the world is up. So I should redouble my efforts, because I'm trying to think now. Have we ever talked outside of the Sackville ones? Because we've talked to Rob and Keith of Old Biddies and Great Roads Brewing, respectively, and James in Mount Union. No, Mount Union definitely isn't. I don't think that's an HRM. But I mean, the city. It's from anywhere right in the, you know, Garrison, Nine Locks, Propeller, Unfiltered. Probably Unfiltered is the smaller one. So getting to the smaller makers of beer that are right there in the city, but a lot of those are closing up, aka Brightwood. I think Stillwell is still going. What was the rumor? I heard a rumor of a couple of them also closing down tonight, or at least being sold. I can't remember what they both were. But would there? Yeah, there's the easy question with theoretically an arguable answer. Would a Halifax, a city, would a city brewery talk to little old me? Bearing in mind, I, myself, was born in Halifax. Within the city itself, I was born in the Grace Maternity Hospital. It's part of the VG? I don't know, it's part of the building that they tore down. The place that I was born, they tore down. That's right. When they made me, they broke the mold and hit it with a wrecking ball. But, and then I grew up in the rural part of Western Halifax Regional Municipality before it was the HRM, when it was just Halifax County. And then when they made it HRM, I used to laugh and say, so they made the entire county the capital city. So it's like the only provincial capital that you can get lost in the woods, which I have done. This Whatintarnation, it is, I think it's a bit more what I was looking for, what I was expecting. And it notes of passion fruit. What does passion fruit taste like? Mango and papaya. Mango, definitely. I'm getting some mango out of this one, but I'm wondering, did they put mango in it, or is this just what happens when you mix all of these freaking hops? It's like Mosaic and Eclipse and Citra and Galaxy. Two Crows, I have a question. Since I have you, I just want to follow up. Where Space Words was a triple IPA because you chose the different hops that sounded like they were from the space. For example, Galaxy and, oh my god, I don't know. I don't remember the other two. But, and that was supposed to be a triple IPA. Does that mean that there were three types of hops? So if this one is made with five different hops, is it the amount of hops? Oh man, is triple IPA triple the hops? Boom. The latter two, so IPAs, double IPAs, and triple IPAs. Latter two characterized by increased hop and malt quantities. The dividing line comes down to alcohol percentage. So an IPA, after 7.6%, an IPA is considered a double. And after 10.6, it becomes a triple. This is an AI answer, so I'm not fully trusting this. Death by hops, triple IPAs are pointless and gross. Get out of town. Get out of... What? I can't even right now. I don't know what you're talking about. Triple the number of hops. Eh? 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 Because I want to know how many different types of hops. So you can have a variety of hops where this is just a single IPA because it only is 6.1%. However, they're using 5 different freaking hops in there, which is amazing, including this experimental one from America, which is going to cost 25% more, but whatever. And I have had it and I loved it. So I was looking forward to this interesting little IPA night where the only one that I wasn't sure about was Dishoom Dishoom. And it was fine. It so far is the one that I've liked the least, but I think that's just because it felt like it wasn't quite punching up in the juice. But, oh, look at the juice, the juice, the juice. Why are you always trying to fuse things with my juice? Yeah. When's the last time you cleaned yourself? Divine self. That is more bitter than I remember. I think that's back down to the 9.1, to the 9.0. It's still really good, but the bitter, because the other ones kept their sweet, the sweet juiciness didn't have that bitter on the back end. It doesn't have the bitter on the back end. The bitter's in the middle, so there's no nasty bite on the way out. It doesn't overstate its welcome. Really smooth. Slightly creamy, even? I don't know. But the bitterness is in the middle. So I'm missing out on some of that that huge mango passion fruit papaya. The smell is so big. So, okay, there's nothing wrong with my sense of smell / taste. It's not that that's the problem. It's that the smell doesn't continue forward through the flavor. That's the problem. So is speaking in that voice. That's an anecdote for some other weird time. I don't know. But the can is empty into that. So what have I learned? The North glass can handle the whole can. The Two Crows can handle the whole can. The Roof Hound cannot. But I knew that. And it's like there's more that goes into the bottle than a can, because it's a 500ml bottle, and less fills it right to the top. Absolutely to the top. That is a really cool font, and that might be the nerdiest thing I've ever said. And it's just text, so how come I can't search for this font? Like, H1 is just the one in Tarnation. So product item details. Stores global variable. What does this funky little icon say? I'm now inspecting HTML over here on my alternate screen. But the font on the Two Crows Brewing, I really like this. And it literally is just, it's just text. Tag this article class. Are you a Google font? It bothers me. Styles, filter, tweak, color. Holy crap. It bothers me that you can't just sort of say, hey, listen, are you font style? Product, basic, item, title, font. What the heck? What is happening? I can't make this work whatsoever. That's fine. I'm going to slowly make my way through here. This is way too confusing for me to try to understand. It's just a really cool font, and it's definitely one of the nerdiest things I've said going forward. Having a variety of interests. I like Nova Scotia craft beer. I like craft beer in general, but I like craft beer enough that I want to try all the ones within Nova Scotia. Maybe expand if I ever get through them all, but I won't. To that point, I also like talking. I like running my mouth and blabbing and just being silly. So I decided to combine the two into, perhaps combine the two? I also like making vague references to really old internet jokes, but that's why I do this. So this podcast is the result of me liking two things. I also like video games. So I play video games and I found a way to do that and raise money for the local children's hospital, because otherwise you're just playing video games and it's not, I don't know, I feel like your time needs to mean something most of the time, as best you can. I like acting and improv, so I volunteer at the local theater. I like music and playing music, so I host a local jam session. I like baseball, so I occasionally coach a local baseball team. I like, what's something else that I like? I don't know, but having lots of smaller hobbies has led me to dip my toe in each of those different places. And what gets me is that every time I sort of say, yeah, I like this a little bit, dip my toe in a little bit, I am immediately greeted by, what's another word for fanatic? Some crazy person who has made my 1 in 6 hobby their entire life. And I say, oh yeah, I'm interested in craft beer. And they say, yeah, I just put like, you know, my second biggest batch into the huge kiln. You know, I carved out a huge section of my garage. I park out on the driveway and, you know, I repainted this and I put 5 huge kettles in there and I make my own craft beer as well. People are really into a thing when they're really into a thing, and I just want a toe dip. Going all the way back to the beginning of this, what Ian mentioned, I think he was talking about Sting, and he mentioned an album, and I've closed the tab on it. Soul Cages, or a song or an album. While I was waiting before the show started tonight, I was watching Soul Cages by Sting. I was listening to it going, eh, not really my thing. And so I scrolled down to the comments to see what everyone is saying. And the first 5 comments were essentially, this song is the most important thing on the planet ever and for all time. And occasion, some of them went into more detail saying, oh, are you listening to the scales and the hits being done by the, I love this bit, I've never heard this before. Have you ever, are you listening to the impressive work done by the rhythm guitarist? And I learned that there is lead guitar and there is rhythm guitar. I am a rhythm guitarist because I am not a lead guitarist. And so maybe I'm not just not doing impressive stuff on the rhythm guitar, but I'm doing stuff. So the lead guitar is off out in space doing crazy stuff. I don't know why I went to Slash playing November Rain, or the last part of November Rain by Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses. That was my band name in high school. But I'm just a regular rhythm guitarist. But someone was saying, this rhythm guitar, oh my God, it's better than everything. And I thought, it's okay. And am I not reading things, looking at things, appreciating things? Am I not diving into things enough that to make it a huge part of my life? And I feel like, I don't think it's a fault that I don't dive deep enough into hobbies, because usually there's always someone that's already there in the pool that's making it unappealing to dive into the pool with them. I am often frightened off by these types of personalities. What happened one night? I met someone, and I thought they were a musician. I was a pretty impressive musician. And they then said, oh, didn't you say you had a degree in computer science? And I said, yep. And he said, hey, what do you think about... And it was like, he wanted to know what I wanted to think about the new... and I want to say the words chipset on a specific type of RAM that was being released. And I went, huh? And I kind of assumed at that point that there are people who, when they get into something, they really get into something. And maybe I'm just never quite going to get into something that much. And I've looked at things that I am really into specifically, and I'm still like 50 to 60% into it comparatively to other things that I read and see from literal fanatics and crazy people. It's just a thing. Let me get through the rest of these beers. This beer, the Two Crows one especially, remember that having a bit more of a tropical flavor to it. Still really smooth. Still really easy to drink. For a 6.1, still very tasty. These three, I love that all three of them are still available in the LC. You can get these all the time. You can get the Dishoom Dishoom, which, to me, North Brewing Dishoom Dishoom, 9.1. Oh, wait. I was going to go back. Okay. That's my 9.3. That's my 9.1. This is my 9.0. I think Two Crows, What in Tarnation, is a 9.0. So I will wander back and make sure that the Dishoom... Now, this is complicated because now the flavors are really sort of blending together. They're very similar. And there's the Foolishly Optimistic. Yeah, that still deserves the 9.3. And the Tarnation? Yeah, lower. So, okay. Dishoom, 9.1. Foolishly Optimistic, 9.3. What in Tarnation, 9.2. All excellent, but just slight scales of a little bit, tiny bit better. But very good. Get you some IPAs. Get you the Hot Bullets. I won't even finish the quote. My good buddy Matt enjoys that. God, where's Matt right now? Ottawa? Hopefully. Still solving all the problems of the government. Getting right into everything. Ooh, there's a guy who really gets, you know, there's a Frood who really knows what the chipset is on his RAM. Cracking myself up over here. Every Wednesday, we're back here Wednesday nights, 8 p.m., 8 to 9. I'll be joined by Ian, so you won't just have to listen to me. And hopefully we have a special guest next week. But until then, you can go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/drink@drinknsdry. You can download our podcast from all the podcasty places. Look up Drink NS Dry, Drink Nova Scotia Dry, something like that. Or you can go straight to the source at drinks.unsupervised.beer. I am 3 IPAs deep, and I still got all of that right. So, suck it, Elon Musk. I feel like that should be every single tweet from now on. And yes, it's tweet. Fine. I'm going to make it political, but whatever. We'll be back next week where we're drinking some more Nova Scotia craft beer. So, good night, everyone. Thank you, North Brewing, Roofhound.